Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio. And today, my guest is John Brewer. And John is a Army Special Forces veteran and author of the book, Fight for Your Best Life. He has more than 10 years experience enabling those who act to defend life, family, and country. And knowing firsthand the importance of self-reliance, John has made it his mission to enable and empower others so that they may lead healthy and thriving lives. So welcome to the show, John. I'm glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. For the listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you and your background, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I obviously my name is John Brewer. I was active duty military for 8 years, and then I transferred over to the National Guard for 3, and just recently got out from there. And then, yeah, ever since then, I've been working on this book and working on standing up a startup for self-defense consulting. But more so than that, it's more of like life coaching, mentorship, things of that nature. And obviously, the book kind of goes over that. But for the most part, you know, my military experience has been, you know, with Army Special Forces, which includes going overseas, kind of a broad spectrum of mission sets. But obviously, a lot of that is working with indigenous forces, mentoring them, training them, and then making sure they have the equipment and training available to be able to fight whatever fights they're going through at the time.
Right. And so that is a nice segue into what you're doing now, as far as, you know, helping people with safety, self-defense, self-reliance, that type of thing. And you're using some of the skills that you learned in the military and that you put into practice while you're serving into what you do now, right?
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of the model for what I have going on, because I realized that, you know, self-defense a lot of times is trained very specifically in the actual training mechanisms or the practical use of it. And that is obviously the, you know, the majority of it, but also in the foundation of it is the mindset, the kind of confidence, and kind of just the mental aspect of that. And that's what I'm trying to bring into the space, is more so, you know, to not only the training aspect, because obviously that's, I do go over some of that, but most of it, and not most of it, but the foundation of it is the mindset itself, and just having the confidence in your ability to protect yourself or others that you care about.
Absolutely. And the mindset is such a huge piece of it, I think, in my opinion anyways, just in my own personal experiences and other things that I've seen through, you know, other people's trainings and things like that. But yeah, if you don't have that mindset, you know, it's going to be hard when something bad happens, trying to stay focused and not lose your cool and not panic, and all of that stuff is going to start to kick in. And so you want to make sure that you have that mindset before you get into that bad situation, right?
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of it, you know, a lot of people obviously do some type of combatives, whether it's jujitsu, martial arts, or anything like that. Or maybe firearms training. But what ends up happening is there's a, you know, before, during, and after when it comes to safety events, what I call safety events, and that's anything that causes danger or threat to life. And sometimes, you know, using a firearm or going hands-on with someone isn't actually necessary, because there's a chance that maybe you can avoid the situation altogether, or maybe there's a chance you can de-escalate it. And then on the backside of that, there is going to be some type of aftermath, and being able to navigate that is going to be able to, you know, especially for when it comes to like bouncing back from some type of loss, which hopefully never happens, whether that be, you know, just, you know, someone losing their life, or maybe it's just injury, or maybe it's just, you know, the trauma factor of it, of, you know, PTSD and things of that nature, to where maybe, you know, there's a whole gambit of situations that can arise. And so I'm trying to broaden the topic a little bit, so it's not just, you know, talking about you know, hands-on or using a firearm or even like, you know, the normal stuff that we think of right now, you know, the current events, active shooters, home invasions, things like that. Because there is a lot more stuff that can happen, whether it's, you know, minimal injuries that can occur or maybe it's very severe. But at the same time, you know, all these mindsets can kind of be grouped, not grouped, but the mindsets can prepare you for pretty much anything. And it's kind of getting you there and position yourself to where no matter what happens, because obviously we can't predict the future. So we don't know if, you know, we're going to deal with some type of break-in or maybe an altercation on the street. So, but if we have this kind of like, you know, template that we go by, especially if it's personalized to yourself, then you have a better chance of handling anything that comes your way, no matter what it is. And that's truly what I'm trying to do with individuals is get them to a place that they can kind of one mold a personal, you know, all encompassing self-defense type of template, and then make sure that it's personalized to them. Cause obviously I'm trying to use their strengths rather than their weaknesses. And then two, that they're, you know, available, you know, they're able to really handle anything that might come their way. And like I said, that's broad, but at the same time, you know, I do feel like that these concepts can handle any situation.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk more about the type of work that you do now, kind of what inspired you to get into this, and how your experience working alongside those people in the war-torn countries will you know, help people in what you're doing now. So stay tuned. Attention military veterans and families. Are you ready to conquer the civilian job market? Monster Resume Writing Service is here to support your transition. Their team of certified resume writers specializes in helping veterans like you. They'll create a custom resume that highlights your military experience, translating it into a language that civilian employers understand. They understand the unique challenges you face, from navigating career shifts to finding the right opportunities. That's why their experts will tailor your resume to your specific career goals, ensuring that you stand out from the competition. They optimize your resume with keywords to match job postings and past recruiters' screening software. Monster Resume Writing Service is dedicated to helping you succeed. Visit the link in this episode's show notes to learn more about how they can help you take the next step in your civilian career. So, John, can you tell us a little bit more about what inspired you to transition from your military service to focusing now on enabling and empowering other people in the safety and security aspects that we were talking about just before? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so truly when I got into the military, it was only supposed to be for a short amount of time. It wasn't supposed to be a career. And really, that was because at the time that I graduated college, I was really interested in countering, you know, operations that counter human trafficking and sex trafficking, especially towards children and kind of the child exploitation. But at the time, I felt like I needed experience somewhere. And I didn't think at the time that I would be able to get in a position with a three-letter agency or anything like that. So I joined the military. But then as I was in the military around 2015, I was on deployment and actually came up with this model for self-defense training. Really, the model was more of an in-person type of model, which it will eventually. But right now it's more remote, you know, kind of consultation type stuff. But really what got me there is, you know, one, obviously the military sets you up pretty well, no matter what MOS you're in, to really start thinking about that security aspect in a variety of situations. And also it gives you that kind of that problem solving ability. Also handling high stress situations, things like that. And I realized, especially, you know, when I was growing up, I did not have any goals to join the military. I always kind of thought about it, but at the same time, it definitely wasn't anything that was ever truly a consideration of mine. And so that's the thing is I had a little bit of this mindset growing up, but it didn't really solidify until I joined the military. And then obviously I got some experience underneath me and I was able to see the world larger than what, you know, my hometown was. And so, you know, just kind of that all encompassing, really, especially over the past 2 years, I realized that there's a lot of individuals out there that one are eager to learn how to protect themselves or others, especially if they have families, but they just don't have a good starting point. Or if they do, it's usually, like I said, the, you know, martial arts gyms, which are absolutely fine. I'm not trying to dig on them. I do train jujitsu myself, and I grew up wrestling and stuff like that. But at the same time, that's very one specific aspect of the entire problem set. So really what I'm trying to give people is, you know, like I said, that foundation and that overall preparedness rather than just prepared for one type of situation. That's it. And so that, you know, that's where it comes from. It's just my military career saw that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, and they shouldn't think about it all the time because obviously they have their careers, they have their personal lives, and it takes a lot of consideration to really come down with these, you know, these salute, not just solutions, but these comprehensive solutions and these solutions that are very fine in detail and things like that. So just like anything else, I feel like that people should understand the problem itself and be able to solve it themselves. And then obviously, if it's something that you can, you know, kind of delegate down, you know, in other areas, then delegate it. But at the same time, security and safety is kind of one of those things you want to take care of yourself. And then obviously there's certain things you can delegate, like home security systems. You sure. know, obviously law enforcement does a lot of work for you too, but at the root of it is yourself, and then be able to at least handle the initial situation and then kind of branch out from there.
Yeah. And, you know, it realistically, you know, no matter who you are, where you live, or whatever the situation you might find yourself in, you are always going to be your own first responder when it comes to safety, security, that type of stuff. If something happens and you need to react to that situation, it could be a car accident, right? And you have someone who's bleeding and you need to figure out how to control that bleeding. You're there. You're the one who's there and waiting for an ambulance to show up, or, you know, paramedics, or anybody else who has medical training may not be a viable option, right? That person may bleed out by the time they get there. So you might need to be the person who does that. And so having this type of training can be helpful. There's other situations, obviously, too. You talked about earlier, you know, home invasions and things like that, which, you know, maybe aren't 100% the focus, but those types of things happen, too. And, you know, waiting for police to show up, that time period between the time that you call for help and the time that they show up, a lot can happen in that amount of time. So yeah, you're absolutely right with that. You do have to be a little bit more self-reliant than a lot of people are, right?
Yeah. And you know, like I said, I definitely don't want to turn, you know, there's a fine line of preparedness and obsession. And so I try to keep people on the preparedness side, but obviously because, you know, I don't want not everybody can be security experts. We have our own strengths, you know, hobbies and, you know, things that we enjoy doing. And maybe that doesn't fall in the security realm, but at the same time, it should at least be a consideration. And that's all I ask of people is just take the time, you know, think about certain scenarios, or, you know, really it comes down to what's more important to you, you know, what's important in your life, your core values, things like that, and just find out ways to protect it. And once you have that, then you're pretty much good. You can just continue on as you were, but, and then every now and then, maybe you just tweak a little something about your plans, or maybe just have a little bit more consideration depending on, you know, certain circumstances that pop up. But for the most part, it's kind of a, you do it up front, you kind of just maintain it as you live, and then continue on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, going back earlier, you were talking about your experience working in these war-torn countries, working alongside the people who live there, dealing with, you know, these bad situations, right? How did that that experience working alongside those people inform your approach to what you're doing now?
Yeah, so really, just looking at it from the ground up, obviously there are certain, you know, it's specific on what we're teaching them, which is relevant to their situation. But, you know, the foundation of that is really understanding their situation. And so that's where a lot of the background comes from, is that not only if I was on the range with these guys as I'm teaching them how to shoot an AK or, you know, whatever small unit tactics we're going over that day, I also have to understand them as a person, what they're going through, their conflict, and then just kind of everything that might influence that situation. because there's a lot of different factors to be considered. And so really that's that's what this is all about, is well, the book, and then obviously the startup, which is really understanding you as an individual or a family, because obviously family dynamic is going to be very closely knit together. And it's understanding what's important within that circle. What's to be considered? What's being protected? What are the threats? And just having that all encompassing picture to really sit down and think through it. And that's where all that came from deployments, is that, you know, yes, I was training them in specific skill sets and things of that nature, but also at the root of it, especially when I'm sitting down one-on-one with them, it's kind of a mentor setting as well. And then also some of these guys were on the younger side. They're like in their early 20s and things like that. And so it's really about, you know, getting them to understand the world, broader, beyond their understanding, which in a lot of places wasn't too large, because, you know, they don't have the same resources that we do. So all they know is the conflict that they're going through at the time. And it's really just about kind of that mentor aspect and having them realize that, yes, I am training you to defend yourself and things like that. But also, once this conflict is over, I want you to be able to pick everything up and then have a life for yourself that's meaningful. And so that's where a lot of this comes from.
Right. More so than just the conflict that they're in right now. And sometimes it's hard to see the bigger picture when you're involved in that one conflict. And that goes for any situation you might be in. You may not see other things that are going around because you get kind of that tunnel vision. And if they're living in that tunnel vision where it's day in and day out, we're involved in this conflict, like that's a difficult thing. And I know one of the things that you mentioned earlier was just kind of getting to know the people and some of the challenges and things that might go along with what they're dealing with. When I was deployed to Afghanistan, I was in an infantry unit, and one of our tasks was to help train some of the Afghan army and the Afghan border police as well. And it felt like it was like herding cats, trying to get them to come back in and focus on the training. But we realized that we were trying to do training with them during the day, during Ramadan, when it was like August, hot as all as it can be. And, they can't eat or drink during daylight hours during that time. And so we were lucky if we got an hour out of them, and then they'd be off doing other things. And so we had to kind of understand what their limitations were. And, you know, I think anyone can understand when it's really hot, you haven't eaten anything or drank anything all day. You don't want to be out in the sun training. You want to find a shady spot somewhere cool to just kind of hang out and not be expending all that energy. What we were asking them to do wasn't really reasonable. And so, we had to kind of work with them and do the best that we can with what we had to work with. It sounds like that's kind of along the lines of what you're talking about as well, is, you know, just kind of make sure you understand the situation that the people are going through, where they're at and what you can do to work with them most effectively, right?
Yeah. And that's one thing that we obviously, I would say as Americans, and human beings also, we're kind of egocentric to where we always think that however we learn or think is the same way that other people learn and think. And that's another aspect of it too, is that, not every one person learns the same way or thinks the same way. So it's really finding out how that works in that individual. And then, even if that's trying out different methods, maybe it's a trial and error method, but also at the same time, you're just trying to find what works best. And then once you find what works best, then that's what you're going with. And you try to run with it as fast as you can. But probably in the beginning, it's more so filling it out, feeling what works, and then kind of really attaching on what does work and then going with it. And I think, even in our school systems, anything that kind of teaches us something, I think sometimes it gets a little stale or it gets a little egotistical in the thinking that's the only way that is supposed to be done. Because one of the most harmful things you can say is that's the way it's always been done. Because that doesn't always mean it's right. So obviously it's always, thinking beyond what's happening, you know, what's considered to be right now, and then kind of making sure that it's always kept up to date, up to speed, and then obviously tailored to the individual.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to cut to another quick commercial break, but when we get back, we'll talk about some key strategies that people can implement to you know, enhance their own personal safety in their everyday life. So stay tuned. Calling all passionate patriots. The Patriot Box is a testament to our love for this great nation we call home. Founded by veterans, they believe in celebrating the values that built America: courage, imagination, and unrelenting determination. The Patriot Box curates hand-selected boxes packed with useful, fun, and delightful American-made products carefully chosen to honor our forefathers and embody the spirit of our nation. Join Patriot Box's community of compatriots and receive your very own Patriot Box, a treasure chest of proudly American-made goods delivered right to your doorstep. Each box represents a celebration of American craftsmanship supporting local small businesses that embody the spirit of passionate entrepreneurs across the country. But it doesn't stop there. With every Patriot Box purchased, you're also making a difference. A portion of the proceeds goes to support veteran charities honoring those who have served our country. Join them in embracing the pride of living in the greatest country on earth. Visit the link in our show notes to learn more and get your own Patriot Box delivered with pride. So, John, we've been talking about kind of the different inspiration and some of the background that you've had with dealing with the people that you've trained while you were in the military. But taking that now to the individuals that you work with, in your opinion, what are some of the key strategies or principles that people can put into practice to enhance their own personal safety in their day-to-day life?
Yeah, so I'd say there's kind of probably, you know, I'll say three main aspects to really to focus on. One, you got to understand yourself. And what that means is that you understand, one, like I said before, what's more important to you? What is it that you're actually trying to protect? Obviously, our physical being and things of that nature. But also, it might be, you know, extended, whether it's, you know, our family. Maybe it is, you know, inanimate objects that we find. You know, obviously, people are really into cars and things like that. So, you know, that could be considered as well. And then also going beyond that, then you have to understand what your strengths and limitations are. So what you're good at and then what you're maybe not so good at, and really focusing on your strengths when it comes to especially safety plans that you have in place right now. Because obviously whatever you're using right now, you want them to be the best that you got. So you have the best chance to get out of the situation in the best case scenario and kind of leave your limitations, you know, to the side. Obviously we're developing them at the same time, but they're not going to be implemented into your safety plan until they're actually considered what I call strengths. And that's based off a certain criteria. And then kind of beyond that, you know, once we're kind of out in the world and we're doing stuff, one, you got to be aware of things that are happening. So, and that's just kind of basic strategies of, hey, you know, I know a lot of people do it, but you got to stay out of your phone. You know, I do it sometimes. I get sucked into my phone and then I'm kind of there for longer than I want to be. But, you know, when you're out in public and there is, you know, I'm not saying it's dangerous everywhere, but there is always that, you know, 1% chance that something's going to happen, whether it's, you know, someone who's actually maliciously trying to hurt someone, or it might just be an accident that could happen, whether that be driving or, you know, tripping or falling. It could be the biggest or smallest things. But it's really just about being aware of your surroundings. And then from there, you know, a little bit of noticing things that are wrong. So obviously, when I look at the world as a whole, you know, we know what right looks like. So anytime wrong kind of pops up, you know, instead of just blowing it off as if it was nothing, maybe take another 5 seconds just to make sure that that's not a situation, you know, that's starting to kind of show itself. And then that way you're able to start to implement the proper precautions as the situation is starting to develop. And so, so once you see that, you know, kind of wrong, you take a little extra time to just make sure, and you start to look at patterns. So if there's a particular pattern that starts to unfold, like say you did happen to see an individual that was just acting strange, and then as you kept looking at them, you realize that, hey, not only is this person acting strange, but they're either carrying a weapon or it might seem like they have a weapon concealed somewhere. It's just something like they're holding on to something. And then as mm-hmm. that happens, and obviously once their eyes go to something and it's fixated on whatever it's fixated on, maybe that's an indication of their intended target, you know, whatever it might be. These are just kind of, and obviously every situation is different, but that's just something I came up with. But, you know, that's sure. that's kind of the pattern that you're looking at. And then from there, you're just trying to implement whatever you've been, you know, planning in your head or preparing your to where, you know, if there is a safety event that's developing, then either you get in your car and you leave, or maybe, you know, you start taking precaution to defend yourself if they're in close proximity and things of that nature. So, you know, like I said before, one, it's knowing yourself, knowing what's important, and then knowing your strengths and limitations. Two is being aware out in public. And then three, it is having that kind of plan that you can kind of rely on when something bad goes down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a situation recently when you're talking about things just being out of place, right? And I was – there's a grocery store within walking distance of my house. So I was walking to the grocery store a few weeks ago, and there was a guy who was just laying on the sidewalk, like passed out, completely cold. And so that was – to me, that was out of place. Like that – something was wrong there. And it was one of those things where – you know, some people maybe would have just walked right by and just ignored it, or just said, oh, you know, this is my problem kind of thing. And, but you don't know, like, first off, maybe that person's having a medical emergency and they need help. Right. And they can't get the help themselves. Maybe they're on drugs or something, or whatever the case may be, there's something that needs to be addressed. You can't just ignore it. Right. And so, similar to what you're saying, just being aware of your surroundings and knowing what's going on. If I was just walking around and I was stuck glued to my phone, I may have completely missed that. And so, and there actually were people who, as I was calling for help, there were people who walked right by and didn't even acknowledge that there was a person on the ground. And so, yeah. Like exactly what you're talking about there, like, and granted, this isn't necessarily a safety situation where I wasn't worried that this person was going to attack me. I mean, they weren't even responsive. So safety wise, I was okay. I just wanted to make sure that person was okay too. But it was just, you know, if I wasn't aware of my surroundings, I wouldn't have even noticed that. And, you know, one thing I think a lot of military veterans have is the situational awareness. Like we're pretty good, heads on a swivel. We're aware of our surroundings a lot of times, better than, maybe your, you know, regular civilian who never served in the military. But it's important to have this kind of training to instill in, you know, your family members, your children, your spouse, you know, people like that, because this isn't ingrained in them the way it may be for a service member, right? So, you know, I always tell my kids they play baseball, softball, before every single pitch, what are you going to do if the ball comes to you? You know, be aware of what the situation is. Where are the runners on the base, right? And that is, it's a fun way to kind of train them because they're playing a sport, they're playing a game that they enjoy. But it also keeps them in that mindset of always just thinking, what's next? What's, you know, and it's not like an anxiety provoking thing either. It's just being prepared, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, also, you know, well, in the game of baseball, if they're able to hit it, you know, place their ball, then obviously that's a, you know, a good thing to kind of. But, you know, it's also from the self-defense side of it, you know, I also talk about second and third order of effects, and which that it's in with anything. It's not just self-defense. Sure. But, you know, it's also understanding the situation beyond, you know, what it is currently. And that's why, like, and that's one of the problem solving mindsets to where, you know, I talk about in the book where there's two types of problem-solving mindsets, which there's probably more, but I try to focus on these two. One is, you know, one problem at a time, which is what is probably, I would say, normally done, which is completely fine because obviously in certain situations, it's very chaotic. If you try to think of every problem at the same time, you're not going to be able to solve a single one because you're just going to be too sporadic in what you're doing. But then also you have to understand that there are second and third order effects. So you always want to set yourself up for the best case scenario, you know, whatever that looks like. And so obviously from the baseball side of it, you know, if there's someone, you know, two men on, so you got first and second, we'll say, and you hit it to a third baseman, then, you know, obviously your lead runner is probably going to get tagged or get out somehow if the third baseman fields it. But obviously if you kind of hit it backside, well, I'm talking about I'm right-handed. So if you hit it to the, you know, right field, then they got a better chance of leading that runner in. And then obviously there's a chance that you might get out at first, but you know, the goal of it would be to score runs. And so that's just kind of like the mindsets that people should be getting into, is understanding that, yes, I could do something that I could do something that maybe is a band-aid for the problem right then and there, but it might set me up for failure two or three steps beyond that. And so really understanding that, hey, yes, if my life is truly at risk right now, I have to get out of that. But at the same time, if my life really isn't at risk, maybe, you know, whatever the situation might be, you know, but I don't feel like there's a risk I might lose my life, then I can kind of take a second to really think about what my next move is, even if it's just the second order effect. It doesn't have to be third, fourth, or fifth. It's just whatever's coming next to make sure that you're putting yourself in the best position possible, because you definitely don't want to make things worse as you're trying to fix a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can work through these types of things, just kind of war game things in your mind, just kind of play them out in your mind. And so that way you have, you know, whenever you're going into a new situation, just kind of think about these things and understand like what your options are beforehand. Because if you're trying to figure stuff out on the fly, sometimes you might just freeze and it may not be the best outcome. Right. But if you can at least give some thought to what happens if X, you know, then that can potentially prepare you for something should something happen. And given the training and the practice and the rehearsal, and I know in the military, when you do all of these drills and everything, that you do it over and over and over again, stuff just becomes second nature and you almost don't have to think about it. Right. It's just, is just your reflex reaction almost. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good thing that we have, you know, this type of training, involved here. And it really will, I think will help some people here, but, we're going to take another quick break. When we get back, we're going to be talking about some more of the mindset and the mental aspects of personal safety, self-defense, and things along those lines. So stay tuned.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Veterans, note the upcoming August 10th date to apply for PACT Act benefits. The law expands benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits and toxics while serving. If you apply before that date and VA grants your application, VA will likely backdate your benefits to the date of the bill signing, August 10, 2022. This means VA will pay you the amount you would have received from August 10, 2022 to the date we grant your application. If you're not ready to submit a claim by then, you can submit an intent to file and still receive the same effective date. Learn more at va.gov/pact.
So, John, we've been talking about some strategies and things that people can do in their daily life and, you know, training families and things along those lines. But, we talked earlier in the episode about mindset and how that's such a big thing. And I want to kind of dig into that a little bit more and talk about kind of the role that mindset plays in all of this. And how do you help people get the right mindset to be able to deal with these situations?
You know, that's actually a pretty, you know, that is the problem for me itself, actually, is getting people to understand that, you know, self-defense and security and safety are things that need to be considered on a daily basis, not actively, but obviously, you know, in some capacity. And that is the first chapter of my book where I talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where I do it's kind of the basis of the book, to where I do believe that theoretically, you know, the first kind of set of needs that need to be met are food, shelter, water. And then the next one up is safety and security. And then until those are met, you can't really extend past that and be able to build relationships with other people or have self-confidence in yourself. And then obviously eventually reaching to self-actualization, which is reaching your life goals or your purpose or whatever that might be. And so that's really, so it comes all back to alignment. And truly that's where all happens is that, you know, like I said, if you don't like firearms, you don't have to put firearms in your safety plans. If you don't like combatives, you don't have to rely on combatives. But what I do want to find out is what, you know, you are interested in and what your strengths are, and then be able to align that with safety goals and implement those into your plans. Because one of my good examples for this is if someone enjoys running, well, running is going to be a main part of your safety plan. If that's the case, if you're a good runner and you enjoy doing it, and that's something that you practice on a normal basis, then maybe running is like your go-to when it comes to any safety events, you know, excluding the fact that maybe you have someone with you that you need to bring with you. But at the same time, if you're there by yourself and something happens and you need to get out of there, then, you know, you're just booking it out. And so that's really where it comes down to, is alignment and making sure that, you know, I'm never going to give someone a recommendation to put in their safety plan something that they're not either absolutely interested in or at least have some type of strength within that ability. So it's just about, you know, going back to understanding yourself and really focusing on that, because a lot of times we do get distracted with a lot of stuff that's happening. You know, there's so much, you know, cool, good stuff out there that other people are interested in or other people are doing, and it's working well for them, whether that's self-defense or not. But at the same time, it's really coming back to what works for you as an individual and then building on that as a foundation and really understanding that bad things happen to good people every day. And yes, it you know, for me myself, I haven't had a situation where I felt like my life was in danger here in the United States. And that might continue until I die. But at the same time, I understand that there are bad things that happen on a daily basis. I mean, every second of the day, I don't have the statistics on me or anything like that, but I know it's a lot. And so, you know, just understanding that, you have to take it into consideration, whether it's, just reading a book about it, or maybe you do kind of develop these plans and prevention tools and things like that. But at the very least, it is really understanding that there are bad things that happen and sure, you should be prepared for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of blows my mind sometimes when I hear people who have the attitude of, oh, that just happens to other people. That's not going to happen to me. I live in a safe neighborhood, or, you know, this type of thing. Where they're just completely unconcerned about safety, security, any of that kind of stuff at all. But they're forgetting about the aspect of there's things like accidents. There's, you know, there could be, you know, there was a bridge that collapsed just not too long ago in Philadelphia, I think. Like, just what do you do? What happens when these types of things happen? Like, and it happened to somebody. Somebody was driving on that bridge when that happened. So, you know, what do you do if there's a medical emergency, if there's a security or safety related issue? You know, just having that mindset in place before you go into it. And this is, I think, what we were talking about just a little bit earlier too, with just thinking about what do I do if something happens? And just having that in the back of your mind, so that way, when it happens, you're not sitting there struggling, trying to figure out, what do I do now? You know? And I think that's kind of the key takeaway from there, right?
Yeah. And it's about perspective too, because obviously, like I said before, my perspective growing up is very different than my perspective now. And even then, it's not, I can't say that I understand every situation that has ever happened in the history of the world, because I can't, you know. But, you know, my perspective on it is that I'm a little bit of a daydreamer. So I do kind of daydream about certain situations and then kind of run myself through a scenario. And since I have seen it in real life in some capacity, then it's easier for me to kind of construct and then, you know, be able to have some type of realistic viewpoint of it. But also, you know, there's, you know, my daughter, she's almost two right now. And ever since she was born, you know, obviously I have more And it is a little bit of anxiety to where, you know, something bad happens to her. So now in my thinking, it's not really about what happens to me. It's what happens to her. So I'm always continuously thinking about, like, if a scenario arises, what do I do in whatever particular, you know, whatever scenario it might be. And obviously there's an emotional attachment to that too, because obviously there's sometimes where I think of situations that are not so great to think about. And I, you know, I'm trying to create a plan for it in my head, but then at the same time, I'm not trying to, you know, stay on it too much because it's starting to bring my mood down. And I'm really starting to, you know, because after a while you start your body, not your body, but your mind almost thinks that it's happening in real life and you have that emotional response to it. And I have to pull myself out of it and remember, hey, she's safe. She's right here with me. Nothing is wrong. But it is that kind of like, you know, that capacity to be able to at least think of the scenario, come up with a plan, and then kind of let it go, because obviously you don't want to harp on it every single day of your life and then kind of, you know, manifest into something in your head that's not quite what it would be in reality.
Right. And that was kind of going to be my next question, is how do you balance that? Because you want to go through the actual training, you want to think through some of these things, but then that's going to have a mental toll on you as well, because if you're constantly thinking of the worst case scenarios that could possibly happen. And by the way, I think what you were saying about, you know, what you're thinking about your daughter is basically the thought that any good dad is going to have is yeah. Like, you know, what's going to happen to my kids? You know, it's not about me, it's about them, because I'm here to, you know, protect them and make sure that they're safe. But, you know, when you have a situation that comes up, yeah, it's going to bring you down. You know, when you're thinking about these things over and over and over again. So, you know, you got to think about it, practice it, do whatever you need to do to make sure that you're proficient in that situation. But then you kind of have to file it away and put it away. Right.
Yeah. And really how I look at it is, you know, it's a deliberate process. So it has a real beginning and end, which, and what I mean by, and obviously it's a cycle, but within, you know, how I look, you know, with rehearsals or maybe a training session, you know, those things have a starting point and an end point. And then once it gets to the end point, you let it go, you go on and do other stuff and you enjoy your life. And then when you have something scheduled, say like if you did want to always do something on a Monday night for whatever reason, that's just your schedule. You always say, hey, from Monday night, 6 to 7, I train in this, whatever it might be. Well, from 6 to 7, you 100% are training in that training session. And then once 7 o'clock hits, and then until it's 6 o'clock, Monday afternoon, the next week, you're not touching it at all. And that's just kind of like obviously that's my recommendation for everything in life. I read a book, you know, a couple years ago about how to stay like, you know, you're in that moment, right? You're not distracted by other things and stuff like that. And that's how we are more productive. Like when you're at work, you're thinking about work, you're doing work. When you're at home, you're with your family and you're not thinking about work. You want to enjoy your family. And then that's how we always are able to stay productive. And then also kind of have the right mindset when we're doing certain stuff. And then that carries, you know, transitions into self-defense training to where it's deliberate. You pick a time to do it, you stick to that timeline, and then when you're outside that timeline, you don't deal with it anymore, because if you start to have this unconscious like urge to think about these scenarios, which I kind of fall into that, but I know how to bring myself back, because obviously, you know, since I do have a little bit more exposure when it comes to, you know, kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of a broad topic, but I'd say like any high stress, anxiety inducing situation, you know, I do have a little bit more experience in handling that, so that when I do actually think about those things, it's not going to consume my thoughts. Obviously in the time it will, but then I'm able to bring myself out just because I have the training to just bring myself out of a situation, not linger on whatever emotional state that I'm in. But that, I would say that's the true, if nothing else, just make it deliberate, make it, you know, something that is planned ahead. And then when you're not actually doing self-defense training or anything like that, then you're not thinking about it at all. You're actually enjoying what you're participating in at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes complete sense. I know for myself, when I'm working, I need to be focused on work. If I'm dealing with distractions, with stuff at home, or other things that are going on in life. The water heater goes out or whatever, and I'm dealing with that. I'm not focused on work, and I'm not going to be very effective at my job. So I need to focus on just work at that point. Focus on that, and then move on to the next thing when it's time for the next thing. And in this case, when it's time to train and practice whatever it is that you need to practice, focus on that and don't do other things while you're doing that. Focus on that. And then when it's time to stop, shut it off. And that's, I think that's just good advice in general for just about anything that you're doing. Like just focus on things. People say all the time, I can multitask. I can do all these things. No, you can't. Like you're not going to be able to do all, 27 different things at once. It's like, spinning plates, trying to get them all to go. Eventually something's coming down and it's going to fall through the cracks. Right. So
There's been a lot of studies now that show that multitasking isn't the most productive way to get things done. And you got to really focus on the one task at a time and just put 100% effort in that. And then obviously, you make either milestones for yourself or maybe you complete the task altogether. But at the same time, it's 100% on one thing. And then you just continue to move on to whatever the next thing is.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of quickly, do you have any just advice or just general information that you might be able to provide for the listeners who want to kind of beef up their own security, safety, and kind of empower their loved ones as well? Like we were talking about family needing to be a part of this. What are some things that people can do to help out in that respect?
Depending on your background, obviously military, you already have a good foundation to be able to, a risk analysis, be able to identify risks that are out there, kind of do a little bit of an in-depth risk analysis where it comes to in my book, I call it a risk tree assessment. That's really just branching out different scenarios based off, one single event of what could happen. And you're just thinking about what ifs. And then from there, obviously, there's the risk matrix when you're looking at the grid that has something as a low risk in green or something as a high risk, a very high risk in red, and looking at that matrix and then just figuring out where that falls in. Because obviously, if something is a significant high risk, then that needs to be considered. If something is a low risk, you might think about it for a minute, like, okay, well, tripping and falling is could hurt me, but I'll just tie my shoelaces or something like that. So sure. having that good risk analysis is the kind of one of the first things to do. And then from there, you're just kind of formulating plans based off those risks and how to mitigate them. Now, obviously, if you don't have a foundation in the military law enforcement, that might be a little difficult. And so that's where a third party might come in and kind of just give you their perspective on it or recommendations. But at the same time, like I said, it all falls back on strengths, your strengths as an individual and as a family and whatever you have going on that aligns with that. So putting that into your plan to make sure that, one, it fits for you and it's a pragmatic solution.
Absolutely. That makes sense. So, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and, find out more about, the book that John has coming out and where you can find more about what he has to offer, so stay tuned. The Hero Company is more than just a brand. It's a force of change. As a veteran-owned and operated company, they stand shoulder to shoulder with our brave servicemen and women. Their mission is to help provide service dogs for veterans suffering from PTSD, all at zero cost to them. Every purchase you make from The Hero Company helps fund this crucial initiative. They offer a wide range of products, including jewelry, apparel, keychains, stickers and decals, dog collars, and everyday carry items. It's a chance to wear your support and make a tangible difference. To date, The Hero Company has raised over $1.2 million, but their fight continues. Their goal is to raise $10 million to ensure veterans in need receive the service and companion animals that can change their lives. By buying from The Hero Company, you're not just making a purchase, you're intentionally being a hero for our heroes who need our help now. Join the mission. Visit this episode's show notes or theherocompany.co/drive-on to shop and support our veterans. Together, we can make a heroic impact and honor those who fought for us. So, John, before we wrap up this episode, I want to give you a chance to tell us more about your book. You mentioned it a few times throughout this episode, but tell us more about your book and tell us what it's about, where people can go to find it, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so the book is titled Fight for Your Best Life, which, you know, as I was writing it, it is a self-defense book, but then also it is a self-help book and a self-development book. So really, it takes you in five stages from the beginning to end of, you know, the before, during, and after of a safety event. And so, like I said, if you don't have a foundation in self-defense or anything like that, this is a good place to start. Even if you do, it's just a different perspective, which I find is, you know, maybe there are some things that I have already, that I covered that you already know, but it's just a difference. You know, obviously it's my perspective. Right now it is in book production. So I am very close to getting it out there as of June 13th. So I'm thinking it might be an August, September release date. It'll be on Amazon. It'll be ebook and print in the beginning. And then I am going to try to do an audiobook. So for those like me who don't read all the time, you'd rather listen to an audiobook, it will be in that format as well. And then also my website, mindshieldandspear.com. That's going to be more so the actual consulting website, but I am going to put links to the book itself in there because the LLC does hold rights to the book. So that's just a publication that extends the services of the LLC itself. And then from there, I am going to start up consulting services that kind of follow the format of the book. And it's just more so getting you on the right, starting point if you don't have one, or if you do have one, just kind of tweaking things here and there, making sure that everything aligns the way it should be. So you can either go to mindshieldandspear.com, or if it's around the August, September timeframe and beyond, then obviously just doing an initial search on Amazon, Fight for Your Best Life will take you to the book.
And I'll have links to all of that in the show notes as well. So for the listeners who are looking to find a copy of the book, we'll try to put a link to that in there as well as the link to mindshieldandspear.com for training and resources like that. John, it's been awesome chatting with you about this type of stuff. I know the show typically focuses on, you know, military veterans, but it's one of those things where I think self-defense, safety, those types of things go beyond just the military community. I think it's kind of a broad thing that will help people no matter what walk of life you come from. And so I think that the type of training that you have to offer will be well received, hopefully, and will be something that a lot of people need, especially, you know, this day and age with you know, things a lot more uncertain in the world, and you don't know you know what might happen from one day to the next, and so you know, having this type of training in your back pocket will certainly be useful. So thank you for you know, everything that you do, and for taking the time to come on and join us on the show.
Oh yeah, no problem, and thanks for having me again.
Absolutely, thanks again. Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.